The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Shaq Barrett made a promise after the Super Bowl, and today he delivered. The NFL free agency negotiation window opened at noon Eastern today. There were some major moves made right away. The Patriots have been busy. This you see right here, ESPN.com's list of the 30 best free agents this year. All will likely have new deals in place in the coming days, and we'll continue to keep you updated on all of it. We begin with Adam Schefter. And Adam, you just heard Shaq Barrett at the Super Bowl parade promise he'd be coming back to Tampa. How did they get that deal done? Actually, Adam Schefter can't hear us right this second, so we're going to start instead with our people here as we welcome you to NFL Live. What's up, everybody? Of course, we'll be with you for this entire week and a really significant week in the NFL. And now Adam can hear us. At least I'm hearing he can. So, Adam, how did the Shaq Barrett deal come together?
Well, Michelle, essentially, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers used a tag last week on Chris Godwin. It put them in a position where they had to sign Shaq Barrett today. And they did just that. 4-year, $72 million deal, $36 million guaranteed. They've got other players they still want to re-sign. Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, some big names. But they did get the deal done with Shaq Barrett, which keeps him in Tampa, keeps their pass rush intact. It's exactly what they wanted to do, and they were able to get that done at this point in time. As for Jonnu Smith, the former Tennessee Titans tight end, he was able to sign with the New England Patriots on a 4-year, $50 million deal. The Patriots really needed help at the tight end position. They were able to get that done. That was a priority for this team going forward. They found him. They identified him. It was somebody they wanted to get a deal done, and now they've upgraded that position, which is exactly what they were hoping to do today. And while they were at it, the New England Patriots also reached an agreement with Matthew Judon, the former Baltimore Ravens franchise player. So trying to upgrade the pass rush there in New England as well. Another goal accomplished. They put him in there, and they're hoping that he generates more of a pass rush this upcoming season in Foxborough. And they were not done there. They also reached agreement with the Dolphins nose tackle Davin Godchaux today on a 2-year deal worth up to about $18 million. So they get Godchaux for the defensive line to go along with Matt Judon. Again, some big defensive moves, and those were not the only defensive moves in Foxborough. The Patriots also went out and added Jalen Mills, the former Philadelphia Eagles defensive back. He comes to Foxborough. Look, long story short, Laura, here, the Patriots have spent more money today in the first few hours of free agency than they've ever spent in a free agent period before in the first few hours today, and we're not done yet.
Yeah, it's wild. Adam's with us every step of the way today as news breaks. He'll be front and center, of course, as we begin here. And, of course, we'll have Mina and Marcus and Dan for the next hour. As a reminder, Cam Newton is back in New England on a 1-year deal. Cam, not a very effective passer last year, albeit with a weak supporting cast. Remember, no traditional offseason, new team. He had COVID. That set him back. He ranked 27th in passing efficiency, but 6th on rushes and scrambles as he ran for 12 touchdowns. No quarterback has a larger disparity in passing and rushing effectiveness last year. So we know about all this help that the Pats have already gotten today, right? And that's a big piece of what they're trying to do. Yeah. I mean, Mina, they're obviously trying to make a big splash here, and they're already making it happen. What are your thoughts on some of the Pats' additions so far?
Well, when you showed Cam Newton, I had a flashback to last season when he nicknamed Bill Belichick Dollar Dollar Bill. I guess he knew something that the rest of us didn't, because Bill Belichick has lived up to that today. It's surprising that the Patriots have gone so big so early, but the actual players they've signed have not been that surprising, in particular Jonnu Smith, the tight end that they signed last with the Tennessee Titans. He really fits the mold of what New England likes in a tight end. They can use him in both the pass game and the run game. He's versatile. Bill Belichick himself said he might be best yards after catch player in the NFL. He gives them an element of versatility. They love using deception so that defenses never know if they're passing or running the ball. He helps them do that. And versatility also is what they'll get with Matthew Judon, the edge rusher from Baltimore. They can line him up all across that line. He's a perfect scheme fit, can drop into coverage. Again, very good fits. The dollar figures are what's surprising here.
Yeah, I'm a big Jonnu Smith guy. I think he's going to remind New England Patriot fans of Ben Watson, that athletic, you talked about versatile speed, yard after catch, tight end. We all talked about the Patriots needed to upgrade their pass catching options. And everyone was so focused on wide receivers. What wide receiver were they going to go get in New England? As always, and preached on for years, they don't look at guys in positions. They just look at guys as football players and what they can do, not where the what position-specific situation that they're in. And so I think Jonnu Smith is going to play a bunch of different roles for this offense. I do believe that this offense is going to look very different than anybody in the NFL. They're not going to play spread out, sideline to sideline football this year. They're going to play shrunk down football, pound it. You play really good defense, some additions and special teams, but Jonnu Smith will be a big part of their offense.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love the focus on offense, and I think these moves that they've made are very very instrumental in them at least getting themselves to a point when they do find their franchise quarterback to move forward. But let's go to the other side of the ball, y'all. And look, I love the signing of Godshaw and Jalen Mills for this scheme and this system. Bill Belichick has always found a way to get guys exactly where they're supposed to be. But let's not forget about the opt-outs. And one in particular, right. Dante Hightower. I don't think people have focused enough on how good he is, but how much he means to what this defense is. And we saw them start to struggle a little bit because the offense clearly left them out to dry and played too many plays. But the impact that Dante has is not only a linebacker, he adds to the pass rush as well. I think previous to his opt-out, he had 8.5 sacks in that season, and we remember the impact that he had in the Super Bowl against the Falcons in that comeback. So, listen, the Patriots weren't as far away as people thought. This was a 7-9 football team without their best player on defense, arguably.
Yeah, I mean, Mina, this makes it look like the Patriots are like, yeah, we really didn't like missing out on the playoffs last season. We're going to try to do something about it right here, right now. How close in your mind are they to contending?
I think that a lot of it depends on the quarterback position, and it is March 15th, I believe, so I'm not going to pick a division winner just yet, but I do think Bill Belichick looked at this team and he doesn't see this as a long-term rebuild. I think Marcus is right to point out, obviously, the defense is just going to bounce back simply by having certain players. You mentioned Hightower, but also Patrick Chung return. And look, Cam Newton, I know it sounds like we're making excuses for him. He didn't have an offseason. He didn't have skill players. I think it's likely he's going to be better than he was last season if he is the quarterback. And if that's the case, this team is a playoff team.
At the very least, Cam Newton with more time to grasp that Josh McDaniels offense, which he even admitted he didn't get a good grasp on. We got some news out of Kansas City from Adam. So let's go to you, Adam. What's the latest?
Laura, Joe Tooney, the Kansas City offensive lineman, former Patriots offensive lineman, is signing with the Kansas City Chiefs. Big name. The Patriots are hoping to bring him back. Didn't put the franchise tag on him.
Wow.
But he just gets done a deal with the Kansas City Chiefs just now.
Wow. Dan, that's huge because we were talking about how the Chiefs were going to have to retool their O-line. I know. Okay, so what do you think?
This is huge. I mean, probably the second best center available outside of Corey Linsley. Like, this is a big deal. And Tooney can play guard as well. So this is a situation in Kansas City where they got to rebuild the people, or they're going to protect the most important player in their organization, the best player in football. We saw what happened in the Super Bowl. I did not think that they had a chance to get Joe Tooney because I thought he would be too expensive. They've obviously worked some numbers around. This is enormous.
Well,
and I do think it speaks.
Well.
Hold up, because we got other situations now. I do think it speaks to guys wanting to go play with Patrick Mahomes. It's an awesome job by Brett Veach. It plugs in an enormous hole. They got to make at least another one move, maybe two. But he's a really good center, understands leverage. He reminds me so much of Jeff Saturday from the Indianapolis Colts that I played with. This is big time for Kansas City.
Let's go to Adam really fast here. Hey, Marcus, 1 second. We'll go back to Adam really fast. You've got the money for the deal, Adam. Tell us the terms.
Laura, it's a five-year deal worth $80 million for Joe Tooney. So a big contract right there for Joe Tooney. By my math, if my math is accurate, that's $16 million a year for an interior offensive lineman. You factor in the money he made last year as a franchise player, and Joe Tooney is a very wealthy man. And the Chiefs need an offensive line help. And that was part of the reason that they cleared out some of the cap space, restructured Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, those other contracts, creating space for a guy like Joe Tooney, 5 years, $80 million.
Yeah, right. If you look back to the Super Bowl lost by the Chiefs, so much of it had to do with Patrick Mahomes trying to scramble for his life. They're doing everything they can to shore up that line. Marcus, what do you think?
I mean, how good is that? Listen, first of all, we brag on ourselves. Let me talk to the American people right quick, crew. We brag on ourselves. Did somebody mention tuning into the Chiefs in our call earlier?
You did.
Did somebody say that?
Oh,
I think somebody did.
You did.
Because nobody else told you.
Let me just say this. Y'all, we knew damn well the Kansas City Chiefs were going to address this offensive line. They got $500 million playing quarterback.
Yeah.
There is no reason for us to think that Veach and the at the Kansas City Chiefs were not going to exhaust every expense to try to get that protection for Patrick Mahomes. Just like we watched the Super Bowl, they watched it too. They were there. They understand what they need to get it done. This is huge for them. And you know, somebody called it.
Oh, my goodness. Go, Mina.
No, I mean, I think it's very notable that this comes off of the Bucks signing Shaq Barrett. We're going to talk about that after the break. The Chiefs said, okay, we're trying to get back to the Super Bowl, too, and this time we'd like to not let our quarterback run for his life. Win out. It's another star on their roster, which is very top-heavy, as we've discussed, but it's worth it given the positional value.
Patrick Mahomes has already gotten in on this deal, guys. He's responded to Adam Schefter's tweet. I think we'll put that up on the screen for you in a second here. Yeah, you see Patrick Mahomes responding with an emoji that looks like a very big smile.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Drew Brees announcing his retirement today, and he retires with a handful of NFL records to his name. Just remarkable. He's the all-time leader in pass yards, has led the NFL in that category 7 times, and is the only player with multiple 5,000-yard seasons. He has 5 of those. He also holds the career single season and single game records for completion percentage. His impact on the game reaches far beyond that, though. And Marcus, you grew up in New Orleans. How did Drew Brees change the football culture down there?
Yeah, listen, Baton Rouge, I grew up. You knew that. 45 minutes away. But I'll tell you this. I didn't meet a Saints fan growing up. I didn't have conversations about the Saints football team. I remember when fans would go to the stadium with a brown paper bag over their face. That's how bad this franchise was. And, yeah, they had Aaron Brooks and Joe Horn, and they had Willie Rolfe, like great players. Pat Swilling, I remember all of those guys. But Drew Brees ushered in a new idea of how we think about the New Orleans Saints. I saw more Saints fans come out of hiding throughout his 15 years in New Orleans than any other franchise. And then to bring a Super Bowl, to keep them competitive, a consistent playoff football team. He changed the culture in New Orleans as far as that organization. So they'll put a statue up in front of the Mercedes-Benz Dome, and it should be. Drew Brees, people will know him, and they will know he was the starter and changed a lot about the Saints for 100 years to come.
Yeah, his impact on the community so far reaching as well. Let's bring Adam Schefter back in. Adam, with Brees now officially retired, what exactly is the plan at quarterback for the Saints?
Laura, we've got a situation here where essentially they've got Taysom Hill under contract. They redid his contract over the weekend. They gave him years that were voidable, but also essentially allowed them to save $7.5 million against the cap this year. And so now they're going to bring in Taysom Hill. They would like to bring back Jameis Winston. We'll see their quarterback moves. And again, that's the plan right now. We'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing I feel like with all of this has been the conversation around the cap space in New Orleans. And Mina and I have talked about that a lot. But, Dan, with no cap space, the question mark at quarterback, what should the Saints' plan be at quarterback?
All right, so the Saints have to find the needle in the haystack. They've got to find a unicorn. This is a Super Bowl caliber roster that needs a complimentary quarterback. Those guys don't exist that are cheap. A quarterback that's good enough to take a team to the Super Bowl that's going to play cheap in the NFL, they don't exist. So New Orleans has to find a unicorn. Now, everyone's like, Jameis Winston, bring back Jameis Winston. What happens if he doesn't come back? What happens if the Bears try to sign him or Washington tries to sign him? So then what is the plan for New Orleans outside of Jameis Winston? That's what's fascinating to me. It's the NFL. We don't know what's going to happen. I think the 60th pick in the draft that the New Orleans Saints hold is the most important draft pick for them this year. Because if Jameis decides to go elsewhere, the first call that they should make is to the New York Jets. Can they give the Jets the 60th pick for Sam Darnold? Have Sam Darnold come in and be ready to play really good football under Sean Payton? Let's say the Jets say absolutely no way. Then what do? Do you wait in the draft to see if Mac Jones falls to you? Do you take that 60th pick and the 28th pick this year, try to combo them together to move up to go get a guy like Mac Jones? So I get it. We all think Jameis is the best option. I've heard it all day, and I agree. But if he chooses to go elsewhere and go get more money than the Saints can give him, what do the Saints do? Call the Jets and then see if you can move up to get Mac Jones.
Jameis makes the most sense for New Orleans, as you mentioned, particular because of the position they're in where they don't have a lot of options. But to me, the question then becomes, does New Orleans make the most sense for Jameis? Because supply and demand dynamics have now moved in his favor, where there are teams like Washington and Chicago that are desperate for quarterbacks, and there aren't many quarterbacks available. Winston, Fitzpatrick, maybe a Mariota trade, or as you mentioned, a Sam Darnold trade. Jameis is obviously the best option. If I'm New Orleans, the sell, the pitch that I make to Jameis is, hey, yeah, you can go get a few extra million if you sign in Chicago or Washington, but take a one-year deal with us. Reassert your value to the NFL. Use it as an addition to remind teams what you're capable of, because then you can really cash in either in New Orleans or elsewhere after one season in our offense, which is better, significantly better, than those other two offenses.
Yeah, listen, through talking to people, I get the sense that it's there for Jameis. To be their starter and leader at the QB spot if he doesn't lay an egg. And obviously it's going to be a competition. That's where Sean Payton is rooted. But we know Jameis Winston as a former first overall pick. And I think it is better suited for Jameis to take $2 or $3 million less to stay in New Orleans and really have a great year in order to put himself in a position to either be a free agent or sign with the Saints again. Listen, for all we know, Sean Payton isn't going anywhere. They have their stars locked up from an offensive standpoint. He has a really good offensive line. Everything you need to thrive. So this is Jameis' year to answer. Everybody's going to say, look, all of these things are available. You're in an offense that we just saw a guy retire as a Hall of Famer, not turn the ball over a lot. All of these things are at your disposal. I think it's well suited for Jameis. Sitting out a year to watch Sean Payton and Drew Brees operate in this offense, understanding where he is, he could set himself up really, really well if he decides to do that and stay in New Orleans and have a really good year.
I get that. I agree. But it's not taking three less million dollars. The Saints literally have no money to spend. So if Chicago goes, here, we're going to give you 2 years, $30 million, and the Saints go, we can give you one for eight, you're leaving a lot of money on the table if you're Jameis Winston. And I agree. Like, you got to think long term, but he might not have this opportunity next year. You know, like, it's not a great situation for New Orleans, and Jameis has got to do what's best for Jameis.
Yeah, you know, one other thing, guys. Diana Russini has been reporting today that the Saints are saying it would be a quarterback competition between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill if they get Winston to stick around. So he may say, I want to go be a starter somewhere else. Adam Schefter back with us as NFL free agency negotiation window opened at noon Eastern today. Busy on the phones. And, of course, all deals can't be made official until 4 o'clock on Wednesday. But, Adam, what's the latest starting in New England, where they've been making a ton of moves all day long?
Well, Laura, they've been the busiest team in the league today. The Patriots earlier today reached agreement with former Titans tight end New England. The Patriots knew they had to address it, and they addressed it today by reaching an agreement with Jonnu Smith, who is one of a number of players the Patriots added, and they also added the former Ravens franchise player Matt Judon, who reached agreement on a four-year, $56 million contract, including $32 million guaranteed. Again, the makeover is underway in Foxborough. It's almost as if not going to the postseason last year didn't sit well with that particular organization. And the team that did go to the postseason and win it all was Tampa. And today it scored another win by reaching agreement with Shaq Barrett, the player that the Bucs declined to franchise last week, on a four-year deal worth about $72 million. Big numbers for a big-time pass rusher. The Bucs tagged Chris Godwin last week, which meant they had to sign Barrett, which means they got it done today, which means they accomplished one of their biggest missions left unsigned still in Tampa. Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, and some other key players.
Yeah, Gronk saying he may want to test the market a little bit, so that'll be interesting to see. But Shaq Barrett joins a growing list of Bucks who are coming back to defend that Super Bowl title. They franchised wide receiver Chris Godwin, as you just heard Shefty say, re-signed linebackers Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett, of course, the last being the most impactful. Barrett leads the NFL in pressures over the last two seasons and was a man possessed in the playoffs. He had 15 pressures between the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. That's the most by any player in a two-game span last season. So, Mina, when you look at the financials for Barrett's deal, did he take a discount just to stay in Tampa?
A little bit. Just a little bit, Laura. I mean, when we were discussing the Bucks before all of this, I said they will not be able to keep Chris Godwin, Shaq Barrett, and Lavonte David, the big three. Clearly, I was wrong, but part of the reason I thought that was because Shaq Barrett was out here saying, I'm not taking a hometown discount. I want to break the bank. He didn't break the bank. He got a really great deal. He is worth it as a player, but it is likely he could have gotten paid a bit more on a different team. Chose to stay with Tampa. We can all see why. It's a Super Bowl team, and they've done just about everything you got to do to get back to the Super Bowl. It's never easy. We see it so rarely for that reason, and there's usually defensive regression. You're going to see probably Sue walk, but man, when we talk about this roster and try to find the holes at this point, you're talking about like pass catching running back. Like, it's really hard to find problems on this team. There's no doubt in my mind that they should be the favorite to represent the NFC again.
Totally. I think this is what happens when your quarterback, Tom Brady, and your general manager, Jason Light, share the same end goal. And they're willing to place that end goal, that vision, above everything else. Above every single thing else. Like, and they're willing to take a little bit of an abnormal journey when it comes to the NFL. Team first, me second. A lot of players say it, and then we don't do it. A lot of general managers say it, and then they don't do it. And this is what happens when both parties are like, nope, we are going to do this way. It's the greatest weapon in football, Tom Brady, taking less money but still being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So this is awesome. Think about the four things that have happened for this team since they won Super Bowl. They got Brady extended, Godwin under contract, Lavonte David under contract, Shaq Barrett under contract. Like, those four things are very difficult to do in the NFL, and they've got them all done. And it speaks to the culture in Tampa. In 1 year, Tom Brady, with Jason Light's help, have completely flipped the culture, and now players are willing to take less to play there.
You know, I was listening to both of y'all. Something that's real familiar about what y'all just talked about. Uh-huh. Didn't the team up there in Massachusetts move just like Tampa is moving right now?
No doubt.
Am I tripping?
Like, no doubt.
Is it like this is wonderful. Like, this is a part of that window of winning as many championships as you possibly can. And I know a lot of people, we talk about it. I get on Mina all the time, y'all, even when we not on TV, about the cap And I'm so glad she's here to educate me on it because I have a better grasp and understanding of it. But I always refer, when it comes to football, is certain players you cannot let walk. You have to exhaust everything you possibly can. And that's what Shaq Barrett was for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's what he is for Todd Bowles' defense. That's what he is to help other guys on that defense flourish as well. So they kept these guys together. It's very familiar with what New England has done for so many years. And kudos to Tampa and Jason Light for getting it done.
I just wanted to get back in real quick on Brady. Dan, you're absolutely right. His willingness to, you know, restructure his deal, it's making things.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
He has done this a good bit. All right, the team that's been making all the moves today, that would be the New England Patriots signing Jonnu Smith to a big deal. It's a 4-year, $50 million deal with the Patriots. Big money for him. They're hoping for big improvements in that offense and a nice weapon for Cam Newton, who has signed to come back for another year. Let's take a look at the Patriots war room, where, of course, Bill Belichick's dog is manning the we'll do as much of that as we can. All right, so when we think about all the moves that they've already made, and it's very obvious that they're making things happen, right, Mina? But what's next? What should be the next focus for the Pats as you look at the money that they still have available and the needs that they still have?
Well, now I think the Patriots are kind of ready to settle into that second wave and look at the, I would say, mid-tier free agents available, because they went big at edge rusher and tight end, signed a safety as well, which I think is a little bit more surprising. Folks expected them to go big on a wide receiver. Clearly, the Patriots thought that actually is a very rich position in this class, which I agree with. There's a ton of options. We don't have to go for a Kenny Golladay or even a Corey Davis. I really like a player like Curtis Samuel. I mentioned you guys out of Carolina for New England, given what they like to do with scheme and getting yards after the catch. Use him sort of similarly to Jonnu Smith to confuse defenses, manufacture some touches for him in the backfield. That would be interesting to me. But I think as far as the major deals, they're probably done working right now.
That's me. I agree. I like the Curtis Samuel thing. I'm going to give you three names. I'm going to give you Will Fuller. I think they need to get speed on the outside. They didn't win enough on the outside. Just flat out run by somebody or win on a comeback. I'm going to give you Nelson Aguilar, who obviously revitalized his career with the Raiders. Good player. And then I'm going to give you Corey Davis. I do think that Mina brings up a good point of Curtis Samuel, but Corey Davis might come on relatively cheap. He was opposite A.J. Brown for the past couple years. He actually had a really good year last year. They do have to upgrade on the perimeter. They have to get somebody on the outside. The Patriots did two things poorly on the outside last year. They did not win on routes, and they did nothing after the catch. So you got to find somebody or multiple guys that are going to be able to line up. And again, the style of offense is going to be conducive to a ton of one-on-ones on the outside. Find me a guy that can win, not dominate, but occasionally win on some routes. And then a guy that, if I get the ball in his hands, can do something with it after. Will Fuller, Nelson Aguilar, Corey Davis.
Marcus, before I get to you, just want to remind people, of course, we've seen the Patriots add Jonnu Smith, Devon Godshaw, also Jalen Mills, and Matthew Judon today. Those are some of the holes they've already tried to fill. So for you, what's the move for the Pats next?
It's wide receiver. Right. It's wide receiver. It's clear. And listen, I like the list. I like the guys that Mina and Dan mentioned, but I'm going after the big fish. I'm going after Galladay. I'm them and they can do it, they can figure out a way to do it numbers wise. Look, I'm with Dan. They need speed. You can find those things. It's hard to find a receiver that just wins, right? That's what the Patriots need. They need a guy that wins. And if you think about their history in free agency when it comes to wide receiver, they went out to try to get those guys. Chad Ochocinco, Randy Moss, obviously, in the year that they had. So I'm looking at it and I'm saying, yes, perimeter help. Because we're comparing these receivers to the ones that they currently have, which would be significant upgrades. But if I'm Bill Belichick, and I know now I see that I'm exhausting and I'm trying to put myself back into the position. They see what Buffalo is doing with Diggs. They understand that Miami is trending in the right direction. I would think that they would try to go out and get a for sure one. And I think Galladay gives you the best opportunity to have that. I love Corey Davis, Fuller in his speed. I'm going after the top dog in free agency, and then I'll work down from there if I'm Belichick.
Hey, listen, yesterday I might have said that sounds a little crazy, but with all the moves they've been making today, you could be onto something. This new on NFL Live from our Patriots reporter Mike Reese, defensive lineman Dietrich Weiss has agreed to return to the Patriots per a source. Glad you're with us on NFL Live. You're looking at ESPN.com's top 30 2021 free agents. The ones in green highlighted have already found new destinations. There's been a lot that's happened today, but you can see there are plenty of other names who we expect to be signed throughout this week. Now, a huge signing today happened with the Chiefs. They are shelling out $16 million per year for Joe Tooney. A little bit in the Super Bowl, and I think they saw that just like we did and said,
this podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8 corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8 SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
So, as I said, $16 million per year. That makes him the second highest guard in the game, pay-wise, behind Brandon Scherff, who's making $18 million on the franchise tag. Tooney ranks third among guards in sustaining his blocks on pass plays over the last four seasons. Figures to be a huge help in that Kansas City O-line. Adam Schefter here with us. Tell us a little more about this deal and getting Tooney to Kansas City.
Well, Laura, essentially, there are a number of teams interested. The Patriots, not surprisingly, were interested. The Jets had some interest. The Chiefs had some interest. The Bengals had some interest. But ultimately, the Chiefs presented a tremendous contract, $48 million in guaranteed money to Joe Tooney, plus the opportunity to really be an anchor on that offensive line for Patrick Mahomes. And as soon as the news was posted on social media, Patrick Mahomes weighed in, loved it, loved hearing that he had a new offensive lineman in Joe Tooney, who last year was the Patriots franchise player, now a fixture and an anchor on the Chiefs offensive line for that deal, 5 years, $80 million, 48 guaranteed.
Yeah, Adam, you won't say it, but I will. Patrick Mahomes quote tweeting your tweet with a whole bunch of smiley face emojis. So I think he's pretty happy about Joe Tooney joining. Thanks so much to Adam for all the latest today. And how about this? Jeremy Fowler, our ESPN reporter, tweeting Chargers closing in on a 4-year deal for center Corey Linsley, per a source. It's not done yet, Fowler says, but getting there. This is fascinating for a variety of reasons, not only thinking about Lindsley not being in Green Bay, but thinking about the addition that he would bring in that division with the Chiefs to the Chargers O-line. Marcus, we start with you. Just your reaction to what this would be, Lindsley joining the Chargers, if it does happen.
It'll be huge. A young quarterback in Justin Herbert, a division where you have to score points in order to try to win it. And you think about the Los Angeles Chargers right now, they have a lot to like. Obviously, Hunter Henry is a free agent, but Keenan Allen is still there. I know Mike Williams is exploring that pool. They might try to get him back. Austin Eckler was injured, came back from injury. He can be good. So adding Lindsley adds experience. It helps Justin Herbert with communication, and it gets this team. Look, the impact of offensive linemen is very rarely talked about. But as a former defensive lineman, and Dan knows this and can go further into detail being a quarterback, when it comes to that unit, when it comes to that group, they can absolutely turn your entire football team around if you get the right pieces. We saw it play well in Cleveland this year with Bill Callahan as the head, as the coach of that offensive line and the way those guys play. So this would be huge for the Chargers. It'll make them better immediately as a football team, and I think fans have to get an understanding about what these guys can do to change perspective of where you think you can be or go as a football team.
Yeah, Chargers vantage point one, love it. Tom Telesco, their general manager, realizes this is my Super Bowl window. I got a cheap quarterback that's really good. Two, their new offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi. I was with them. Where'd he come from? The New Orleans Saints. Think about the Saints offensive line, notorious for interior protection. He believes that that is vital for quarterback success, interior protection. Three, don't allow Justin Herbert's season to mistake something. Their offensive line was bad last year. 31st in pass protection in L.A., 32nd in run. So this is huge for them to get Corey Lindsley. That being said, Green Bay's vantage point. If signing Aaron Jones hindered you from keeping Corey Lindsley, that is a bad signing. And I love Aaron Jones. But if signing Aaron Jones, you spent too much money and you couldn't keep the second most important person on your offense outside of your quarterback, Corey Lindsley, you have taken a step back from your football team last year. That would be an enormous loss. And one that would be not worth it to keep Aaron Jones overnight. Again, I think he's a great player, but Lindsley is at worst the second best center in football last year, maybe third at worst. And that is a big loss for this Green Bay football team.
And it's so true, Dan. And what Marcus said is true. We don't talk about offensive line play enough and how much it matters to Green Bay in particular. They had the best offensive line in the NFL last year. And until David Bakhtiari, the left tackle, went down. And they were so strong on the interior. And it's a big reason why that offense was so efficient, why that run game was so great. Aaron Jones is a really good player. He's really good for the Packers in particular in their wide zone scheme. He's useful as a pass catcher. But when you look at this team as a whole and how it's put together and you start losing pieces on that offensive line, you do question not just how they've allocated contracts, but last year you're looking at a draft where their first and second picks are backups.
That's fair.
Like, that's not... That's not how you compete as an all-in football team. And this team is all in on Rodgers' peak right now. Backups last year at first and second. And that doesn't mean they shouldn't have paid Aaron Jones. And it's easy to say in retrospect they shouldn't have drafted a quarterback and a running back. But we have to look at these things holistically. And the Packers have put themselves in a difficult position.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I just wanted to make one point really quick because that point Mina just made fire. That's why I watch NFL Live. I love watching it even when I'm on it. Here's what I will say.
Me too.
In context of seeing Tooney and we're talking about Lindsley potentially going to the Los Angeles Chargers, when we are talking to fans and when we're talking to people that's watching our show, the interior pressure in the NFL has become one of the most devastating things you can't block it up in the NFL. Yeah. So these moves that are being made, I remember when Dallas drafted Travis Frederick in the first round and then took Zach Martin, and I started to come around and say, okay, I understand. So identify that. So when your teams are making these moves, they are pretty big in the way of you winning the Super Bowl.
Again, to update everybody, we're following a developing story. Our Jeremy Fowler reporting Corey Linsley and the Chargers closing in on now a five-year deal. That, in just my quick investigation on Twitter, has to do with cap space. It moved from a four to a five-year deal. And here you can see final Corey Linsley deal goes for 5 years. Of course, as Mike Garofalo said, went from four to 5 years, mostly for cap purposes. Wow, apparently I didn't need to look at Twitter because it's right here on our show. Best center available, putting up a big number. Dan, as I'm thinking about this, I realize the Chargers point. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers has seemingly been frustrated with this Packers organization at multiple times, even when they were eliminated once again this year, losing in back-to-back years in the NFC Championship, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're mad right now, right?
No question. And my mind immediately goes to the post-game press conference after they lost this year when he was like, none of us know our future. And I know he was trying to send a message of like, there's people that are important to this organization and our team's success, and we can't lose them. Corey Linsley was at the very top of that list. This is a huge loss for the Green Bay Packers. Great for the Chargers, huge loss for Green Bay.
Yeah, and granted, you know Aaron Rodgers loves Aaron Jones too, but you got to try to keep all these guys. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.